the opportunity to be in a corporate setting, a corporate anointing, and we're all blessing and shouting praises unto God. He's worthy. And so this morning, I encourage you to get excited about being in the presence of the Most High God and shout out your name with a voice of triumph. Come on, church.
Thank you. to give him praise. We have come to exalt him and to magnify him and to glorify him. But there is no other name. Say it with me. There is no other name like the name of Jesus. Come on, let's sing it out together. Sing with me. There is no other name.
Proclaiming, Jesus, you are Lord.
We declare it today, Jesus, you are Lord over our life. You Lord over this world. You Lord over this nation. You Lord over creation. We worship you. Lord, we thank you for your presence here today. And we welcome you. We welcome you. We honor you. We worship you. We recognize you. We surrender to you. Lord, have your way here today. I pray, Lord, that, Father, I pray that you will touch every life. I pray that you will touch every heart. I pray that not one person will leave the same way that they came in today, but they will be transformed by your word, by your spirit, by your presence, by your anointing. I thank you, Lord, that your healing power is flowing in this place today. And I speak to every disease. I speak to every sickness. I command every sickness, every disease, every pain, go in the name of Jesus. And I release the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ to flow through your body right now. If you need healing in your body, just say, I receive my healing today. Lord, I thank you for your healing power that is touching me and healing me. I praise you, Lord. Thank you for restoring my health. I speak to every addiction, every oppression, every depression, every bondage, and I break your power in the name of Jesus. I command you to loose every person, and I speak freedom, and I declare liberty in your life. I declare who the Son sets free is free indeed, and I tell you, you are free indeed today in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for strengthening us, for filling us with your peace, for filling us with your joy. Lord, this is the day that you have made, and we rejoice. We are glad. We're glad. We're glad to be in your house. We're glad, Lord, to be with you. Amen. 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 Say, I'm glad to be in the house of God. Say, there's no other name like the name of Jesus. Amen to your neighbor. I'm glad you're here today. Smile at them, shake your hand. Good to see you.
Sometimes we We welcome those who are watching online as well. We're glad you've joined us. And in that visit, it packs a couple of things. One is a teaching CD from Pastor Steve, which we hope will be a blessing to you. And there's a white card. If you just take a moment and fill it out. At the end of the service, we pass an offering bag by. You just drop that in. And we'd love to give you a call. Find out how you enjoy this service. And thank you. Praise the Lord. Did I lose somebody here? Want me to preach?
Praise God. Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you.
It's good to be in the house of God.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
I can't think of anywhere else I'd rather be today.
Amen.
Except with all new good people.
Yeah.
All new good looking people. This is a good looking church. If you don't believe me, just take a look around. Except for this one. You know, I'm glad to see you. This week we had a terrible tragedy. And you all know about it. Down in Parkland. Now, there's a lot of things being said, but here's, I just want to tell you some good news. We were at Connect Group this week at Pam and Jerry's house. Where's Pam and Jerry at? Okay, Pam and Jerry. We had a wonderful time. They did a Valentine dinner for us. They went to, Pam went to town. I'm not sure how much you participated in it. But Pam went to town. Am I right about that? Or did you help? You didn't help. That's what I thought. But Pam, I mean, you outdid yourself. And we had about 20 people at a wonderful time. And Pam was saying, Pam's a school teacher. I'm not going to say the name of the school. I'm going to keep that under the radar. Because Pam showed me a video of the kids in her class. Because she teaches them about Jesus. She teaches them the gospel.
Amen.
I'm not really sure if she's supposed to do it, but she's doing it. And I'm going to show you a video of the kids in her class. Because I believe that one of the biggest keys is we've got to get prayer back in school. I mean, people, you know, are distracted. This is the issue. But no one seemed to connect the fact that since we took prayer out of schools,
yep,
things have seemed to decline.
Yep.
So look at this video of Pam's class. I'm going to show it, okay? Are we ready? Happens there. Amen. Isn't that good? I want to commend you. you right now, you need to pray for your kids. And pray for your grandchildren. And you need to speak Psalm 91 over them. Because the Bible says, 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me. I will not be afraid of the arrow that flies by day, the
Amen.
That flies by night. No evil shall before me, no plague will come near my dwelling. He's given his angels charge over them. Let me tell you, I would pray over my kids when they were little, and I would declare Psalm 91 all the time. And I still do it today. Now I do it for my kids and my grandchildren.
Yes.
Amen? Yes. So be praying for your grandchildren. Yes. Let me tell you, prayer makes all the difference.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Praise God. Well, are you ready? Are you ready to? Are you ready for God's word this morning?
Yes.
I'm excited about what I'm going to share with you. Anyone bring their Bible to church today?
Yes.
Wave your hand if you've got your Bible or you're going to be following on your phone. Wave your hand if you've got a notebook. You're going to be taking some notes here this morning. Good, all the note takers there, all the students, all the studious ones. This morning I want to speak about get rid of bitterness. Get rid of bitterness. Tell your neighbor, get rid of bitterness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says this. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Now that's the New Living Translation. The Contemporary English Version says it like this. I'm going to read it in a couple of different translations. It says, stop being bitter and angry and mad at others. Don't yell at one another or curse each other or ever be rude. The Good News Translation says, get rid of all bitterness, passion, and anger. No more shouting or insult. No more hateful feelings of any sort. And then the New Century Version says, do not be bitter or angry or mad. Never shout angrily or say things to hurt others. The next verse, verse 32 says, instead, says, get rid of bitterness, don't be angry. Instead, be kind and tender-hearted to one another and forgive one another just as God has forgiven you through Christ. Get rid of bitterness. Don't be angry. Don't be mad. Don't yell at people. Don't shout. Don't be rude. Instead, be kind, tender-hearted, and forgive.
Amen.
And everybody said,
Amen.
Now, the dictionary defines the word bitterness as anger and resentment at being treated unfairly. Bitterness is the feeling that you feel when you've been treated unfairly. It also is an emotion which encompasses anger and hate. Let me tell you, bitterness and anger go right together. You can't be bitter without being angry. We all go through things that are not fair. People do us wrong. We didn't get the promotion. Came down with an illness. You can't stop life from happening to you, but you can choose how you respond. Because if you hold on to that hurt, and if you go around dwelling on the offense, thinking, why did they say that about me? Why did I lose my loved one? Why did that friend walk away? Then what happens, what you're doing is you're opening the door to bitterness, and when you're bitter, it affects every area of your life. Bitterness poisons your attitude. To where you see everything in a negative light. Bitter people do not have good relationships. Because they're easily offended. They'll jump down your throat for the smallest thing, and it's not you, it's the bitterness coming out. And you might have a good reason to be bitter. Maybe something happened that was unfair. But holding on to that is only going to make it worse. It's going to steal your dreams. It's going to rob you of your joy. Do you know that bitterness can keep you from your destiny? I know people who are still bitter over something that happened 20 years ago. They're bitter because they were mistreated when they were growing up. They're bitter because the relationship didn't work out. But you have to let it go. Because God sees what's happening. He knows it wasn't fair. He knows who walked away. He knows how to make it up to you. He knows how to bring you out of it better off than before. But you've got to let it go, and you've got to trust Him to be your vindicator. Because the longer you hold on to that bitterness, let me tell you, the harder it is to get rid of it. The more you dwell on it, the more you relive it, The more you let it bother you, the deeper it gets planted. The key, let me tell you a key that I've learned. Forgive quickly. Let go of things you don't understand quickly. When the questions come up to your mind, why did that happen? That's not fair. How could they do this to you? When you feel that bitterness trying to take root, right there, you've got to stop and say, God, I'm turning this over to you. I know you're my vindicator. I know you make my wrongs right. You said that you'd give me beauty for these ashes. Let me tell you, I've found that bitterness is always knocking at the door. It's something that we all face. You didn't get the contract. Bitterness will tell you that's not fair. You should have a chip on your shoulder. The medical report wasn't what you wanted. Bitterness will show up and tell you, you prayed, you believed. Why didn't God answer your prayer? Bitterness is always trying to get a hold of us. At the office, maybe a co-worker says something, trying to make you look bad in front of other people. Just a little offense, just a small seed. But if you ignore it, no big deal. But if you start dwelling on it, and you start thinking how you can get them back, next time you see them, you give them the cold shoulder. Another cold shoulder. That little seed will begin to take root. Before long, it'll grow and it'll pollute other areas of your life. The scripture says this in Hebrews 12, verse 15. It says, watch out. Tell your neighbor, watch out.
Watch out.
Watch out for what? Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. Notice it calls bitterness poisonous. Now the Living Bible says it like this. Watch out that no bitterness takes root among you, for as it springs up, it causes deep trouble, hurting many in their spiritual life. Do you know that bitterness will cause you trouble? Bitterness will hurt your spiritual life. Bitterness will hold you back. Amen? The Passion Bible says it like this. Make sure no one lives with a root of bitterness sprouting within them, which will only cause trouble and poison the hearts of many. Bitterness is like a poison. And bitterness tries to infect all of us. But bitterness will bring trouble in your life. It's like a poison. It'll contaminate your life. You know, if you refuse to forgive and you hold on to bitterness, that's like drinking poison and waiting for the other person to die. It's going to affect you. Amen? Now notice it refers to bitterness as a root. How many of you know you can't see a root? A root is under the ground. It's hidden. Right? But here's the problem. A bitter root produces bitter fruit. If you have a root of bitterness, it contaminates your life. I know a young man who became disgruntled with his employer. His boss was an older man, and he didn't feel like he was treating him fairly. And so he moved to another state, but over the years he never let it go. He became more and more offended. He kept talking about it. He kept bringing up, you know, all the ways he wasn't treated right. His boss really was very good to him. He was generous and kind to him. There were just these little things that this young man kept dwelling on, blowing them all out of proportion, and because he wouldn't let it go, that small offense turned into a root of bitterness. I mean, that young man used to be happy and fun to be around, but now he's bitter, he's got a chip on his shoulder, it's affecting his relationships, it's affecting his career. The Bible says in Proverbs 4, in verse 23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Now, if you wonder what that means, the New International Version says it like this. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The Bible says that we should guard our heart more than we guard anything else. Protect and guard your heart. One of our most important responsibilities is to keep our heart pure. How many of you know life is too short to live offended, not forgiving, bitter over what didn't work out? You've got to guard your heart. Because it's easy to let what's on the outside get on the inside. Yeah. It takes discipline to say, I'm not going to dwell on that offense. I'm not going to go around feeling sorry for myself because something didn't work out the way I wanted it to. Let me tell you, you only have so much emotional energy every day. It's not an unlimited supply. And do you know how much energy it takes to hold a grudge against somebody? It's like a full-time job, let me tell you right now. To go around offended, that's wasting valuable energy that you need for your dreams, for your children, for your destiny. You've got to quit letting what's on the outside get on the inside. You've got to guard your heart. The Apostle Paul had plenty of opportunities to live offended. The Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 verse 14, he said, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. He said, that man, he hindered me, he did me much harm, he opposed me. May the Lord repay him. See, that's the mature attitude. Someone did me great wrong, but I'm not upset. I'm not bitter. I don't have a chip on my shoulder. I know God is my vindicator, and I know God is fighting my battles. I'm not bitter about it. See, what's interesting is you can't see a root. But how many of you know that the root is where the tree gets its life? We see the outside, we see the leaves, we see the branches, but the roots are what's feeding the tree. Right? When your roots are healthy, when you're positive, when you're hopeful, that's feeding you encouragement, that's feeding you life, that's feeding you strength. But if you have bitter roots, then you're not going to do the right things. You wonder why you don't have energy. You wonder why you don't laugh anymore. You wonder why you don't dream like you used to. It's because those bitter roots are feeding you bitterness, self-pity, anger, unforgiveness, and that's draining all the strength and all the passion and all the joy. Those roots are feeding you what they are. Are you with me? The good news is you don't have to live with bitter roots. You can get rid of bitterness. If you couldn't, the Bible wouldn't tell you to do it. You need to ask God to show you what's causing you to be bitter. Maybe there's someone you need to forgive. Maybe it's a dream that didn't work out and you're still sour about it. Maybe it's a mistake you made and you're still beating yourself up. If you'll be honest with yourself, if you'll say to yourself, God, help me, Lord, help me to get rid of this bitterness. Lord, I'm still angry over what happened when I was 10 years old. I'm still sour over the person that left me. I'm still grieving over my loved one I lost 10 years ago. God, I don't want to be bitter. Help me to get my passion back. I want to love again like I used to. I want to dream again like I used to. God, help me to let it go and move forward in my life. Let me tell you, that's the first step to getting rid of a bitter root, is to find out what it is and ask God to help you get rid of it. Yes. Are you with me?
Yes.
You cannot do it on your own. You've got to ask Him to help you to forgive the person that hurt you. Ask Him to help you to release the bitterness and the resentment. When you get these contaminants out, you'll not only feel the weight of it lift off in you, but let me tell you, you'll get your joy back. You'll start dreaming again. You start seeing the new things God has in store. I want you to see the reason God tells us to get rid of bitterness is because it's like drinking poison. It'll contaminate your life. It'll hold you back and it'll steal your joy.
Yeah.
Are you still here?
Yes.
Years ago, there was an outbreak of disease in a small village in Africa. People were being overcome by nausea. They were vomiting. And after a couple of months, it was so bad, people started dying. And the word quickly reached the main city, so they sent experts out, try and find out what was the problem, and after several days of testing, they discovered that their water was contaminated. And this little village got its water from a mountain stream, and so the researchers began to travel upstream to find the root of the problem. And they traveled for days and days, they didn't see anything wrong. Finally, they came to the source of the stream. And everything on the surface looked okay, looked fine. And they decided they were going to send some scuba divers down and get as close to the source as possible. And much to their surprise, they found a big mother pig stuck with all of the piglets right there in the source. Somehow the pigs had fallen in and drowned and became wedged right at the opening. Now all this
crystal clear water is being contaminated as it flowed past the dead pigs. All they had to do was remove the pigs and the water was perfectly fine. They got rid of the contamination. Let me tell you, it's the same principle in life, family. We all have unfair things that happen. We all have things that we don't understand too often. Instead of forgiving the people that hurt us, instead of letting go of the wrong, we hold on to that wrong. And it's like those pigs. It's contaminated our stream. We wonder why we're negative, why we can't get along in relationships, why we keep losing our temper. We think, well, this is just who I am. No, that is not who you are. You were created in the image and the likeness of Almighty God, and He made you to be happy and healthy and joyful and whole and not bitter and angry and resentful. That is not who you are. You need to go back and get rid of what's contaminating your stream. You need to find those pigs. What do I mean? Forgive the people who did you wrong. They hurt you once. Don't let them continue to hurt you. Let me tell you, they cannot stop your destiny unless you allow them to. You're not forgiving for their sake. You're forgiving for your sake. I don't forgive someone for their sake.
Amen.
For my sake. Amen. It's selfish. I'm forgiving because I want to keep my heart right. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I don't want my stream to be polluted. I don't want any dead pigs blocking up my blessings.
Yeah.
You've got to quit reliving that dream that didn't work out. That business that failed. That contract didn't go through. Let it go. God has another dream. Let me tell you, that was just a test. Because you had to go through those closed doors before you could come to your open doors. And it may not have been fair what happened, but let me tell you, God saw what happened. And if you'll get rid of the pigs, if you'll turn it over to Him, if you'll start dreaming again, start believing again, start hoping again, God will pay you back for what didn't work out. And God will open doors that you never dreamed He'd be able to would open for you.
Amen.
In fact, what is in your future is much greater than anything that you've lost.
Yes.
My challenge is don't let a dead pig keep you from your destiny. Don't let a bitter root contaminate your life. It's time to move forward.
Yes.
Tell your neighbor, it's time to move forward. Let me tell you, it is very freeing when you can say, Lord, they did me wrong, but you might believe. Lord, I had a disappointment, but I know you're going to turn what was meant for my heart and you're going to use it to my advantage. Amen. I lost a loved one, Lord, I still miss them, but I'm not going to live bitter the rest of my life. I know they're with you and you have a new beginning for me. That's how you get rid of bitterness. You've got to guard your heart. You don't let what's on the outside get on the inside. Amen?
Yes.
In the scripture, there was a lady named Naomi. And she really had some tough times in her life. She was living in a city called Moab. And she was a widow. Her husband had died. And then years later, both of her sons were killed in battle. Sometimes life doesn't seem fair. You had more than your fair share of bad breaks. It's easy to get bitter and give up on your dreams. But let me tell you, dear friend, listen to me. God wouldn't have allowed it if it was going to keep you from your destiny. And yes, it may be difficult, but God promises that He'll give you grace for every season, that He won't let us go through more than what we can handle. We'll never be tempted beyond what we're able. When that bitterness comes, you're going to put your foot down and say, no, I'm not going there. I know God is still in control. I know His plans for me are for good.
Amen.
And what you're going through right now may not be good, but God knows how to bring good out of it. Every thought will tell you, I'm never going to be better. You might as well be bitter. Your things are never going to change. You might as well be bitter. Don't believe those lies. Because let me tell you, you wouldn't be alive unless God had something amazing in front of you. God has a purpose for you to fulfill in your life.
Amen.
But Naomi had gone through so much. She thought she was done. She thought it was over. She even changed her name. The Bible says in Ruth chapter 1, she told them, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. The name Naomi means pleasant or my joy. The name Mara means bitter. She said, for Almighty God has dealt me bitter blows. She actually changed her name. She used to be known as my joy, pleasant one. The pleasant one, the joyful one. Now she said, call me bitter. Now when people called her Naomi, she'd tell them, don't call me that. I'm Mara, I'm bitter, I'm broken. My dreams are shattered. Just let me live in my pain. She let the bitterness live on the inside. And maybe she had a reason. I mean, she'd been through a lot of losses. But just because you've been through loss doesn't mean that you're not going to win again. It doesn't mean that you've seen your best days. You might have had some bad breaks, but don't change your name. God's not finished with you. The enemy doesn't have the final say. God has the final say. Amen? And so Naomi moved back home to Bethlehem. And her daughter-in-law Ruth went with her. And I can imagine when her friends saw her, they came running out. Naomi, can't believe it's you. We've missed you. And she replied in Ruth 1 verse 21, I went away full, but the Lord has brought me home empty. Why call me Naomi when the Lord has caused me to suffer and the Almighty has sent such tragedy upon me? She was saying, I went out with my husband and my two sons, but now look, it's just me. I came back, I lost everything. Have you gone out full with big dreams and with big goals, but things didn't work out the way that you had planned? Maybe the marriage didn't make it, or the pregnancy didn't last, or the contract didn't go through. Like Naomi, you could easily be bitter, but this is how merciful God is. Even though Naomi thought she was done, even though she'd given up on her dreams, even though she changed her name, God said in effect, Naomi, you started in joy and you're going to finish in joy. You might have changed your name, but I didn't change your name. You had trouble in Moab, but don't worry. I've got a blessing waiting for you in Bethlehem. And here's what's interesting. Even though Naomi changed her name, the scripture never refers to her as Mara. It keeps calling her Naomi. You see, have you changed your name, so to speak? Are you living bitter and negative, thinking about everything that didn't work out? Do yourself a favor. Get rid of those names that you put on yourself and go back to who God created you to be. Because God never changed your name. God still calls you blessed. God still calls you favored. God still calls you prosperous. He still calls you healthy, strong, victorious. Go back to your original name, who God says that you are.
Amen.
I mean, you might have had trouble in Moab, you know, so to speak, but get ready, because God's got a blessing waiting for you in Bethlehem.
Amen.
Instead of sitting around bitter, Naomi started helping her daughter-in-law Ruth. There was a man that Ruth was interested in, and Naomi started giving her relationship advice. In Ruth chapter 3, she said, now do as I tell you. Take a bath and put on perfume. It's always good advice. Take a bath and put on perfume. Dress in your nicest clothes. Then go to the threshing floor, but don't let Boaz see you until he's finished eating and drinking. Be sure to notice when he lies down. Then go and cover his feet and lie down there. He will tell you what to do. I will do everything you say, Ruth replied. Naomi turned her focus away from her own problems and she started helping somebody else. Do you know it's amazing what happens when you get your mind off yourself and you start helping somebody else? Her joy started to come back. And when you're tempted to be bitter, one of the best things you can do is get your mind off yourself and be a blessing to somebody else.
Amen.
Ruth ended up marrying Boaz. And they had a baby named Obed. And when Naomi saw that little baby, she was so excited. It was like something breathed new life and new purpose back into her spirit. The Bible says in Ruth chapter 4 and verse number 14, then the woman of the town said to Naomi, praise the Lord, who has now provided a redeemer for your family. May this child be famous in Israel. May he restore your youth and care for you in your old days, for he is the son of your daughter-in-law who loves you and has been better to you than seven sons. Naomi took the baby and cuddled him to her breast, and she cared for him as if he were her own. Now, reading from the New King James Bible, it says, Naomi took the child and laid him on her bosom and became a nurse to him. Something supernatural must have happened. Because the only way you can nurse a baby, how many of you know I cannot nurse a baby? How many of you know I cannot nurse a baby? No milk yet. So for this Naomi to nurse that baby means she must have had lactation. That's a miracle, isn't it? And then it says, also the native woman gave him a name, saying, there is a son. Listen to this. There is a son born to Naomi. And they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. We all know who David is. The Message Bible says the neighborhood woman started calling him Naomi's baby boy. But his real name was Obed. Obed was the father of Jesse, just the father of David. So everyone said, oh, there's Naomi's baby boy. There's Naomi's son. He wasn't Naomi's son, he was Ruth's son. But you see, God did something in Naomi's life. It wasn't even her baby, but she took that little baby and raised him like he was her own. That this once bitter woman was now more fulfilled than ever. She never dreamed she would be this happy again. Let me tell you, God is saying, my blessing is going to override your bitterness. My favor is going to make up for your pain. What God is planning for you cannot be stopped by people, by bad breaks, by loss. Even if you change your name, let me tell you, God is so merciful, he's still going to do something amazing. He's still going to get you to where you're supposed to be. Yes. Amen. Yes. In Mark chapter 16, Jesus had just been crucified. And Mary Magdalene and another Mary went to the tomb early one morning to put perfume on his body. And they wondered how they were going to roll the stone away from the tomb. But when they arrived, the stone was rolled away. And they walked into the tomb, and they saw a young man dressed in white. It was an angel. And they were afraid. But the angel said to them, in Mark chapter 16, don't be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He isn't here. He has risen from the dead. Look, this is where they laid his body. Now go and tell his disciples. Now notice this. Go back to verse 6 for me, please, Miguel. He says, you're looking for Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He isn't here. Say here.
Here.
He isn't
here.
Here. Next verse. Now go and tell his disciples, including Peter, that Jesus is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Just as he told you before he died. He isn't here. He's gone ahead. You're going to see him there. Notice, he's not here. He's there. The angel was saying, in effect, I know this looks bad. I know you're hurting. I know you're disappointed. But don't stay here, because something better is waiting for you there. In other words, here is the disappointment. Here is the bad medical report. Here is the dream that didn't work out. If you stay here, you're going to be discouraged. You've got to go there. Sometimes the reason God doesn't comfort us in the here, in the disappointment, is because he doesn't want us to stay where we are. Yes, the loss is painful. Yes, the setback wasn't fair. But God isn't here. God has gone ahead. God is waiting for you there. What do I mean? What I'm saying is, God isn't in your past. God isn't in what you lost. God is not in what didn't work out. God is in your future. Don't get stuck in the here. Move forward into the there. Because there is where vindication is. There is where new beginnings are. There is where you'll find your healing. There is where the blessing is.
Amen.
You see, if the two Marys had stayed at the tomb in self-pity, they would have never seen the there. They would have never seen the Lord. And my question is, are you living in the here while God is waiting for you there? Are you stuck in a disappointment, bitter over a bad break, angry because what didn't work out? It's time to leave here and go there. Because there is where God is waiting for you. There is where the blessing is. Amen?
Amen?
That disappointment is just simply a season. It's not the rest of your life. God has already gone ahead. God has already lined up the next chapter. God already has restoration lined up for you. Amen?
Amen.
A couple of weeks ago, I told you about how Pastor John Osteen, that is Pastor Joel Osteen's father, I told you how Pastor John Osteen started Lakewood Church. He had been a pastor of a large denominational church, I think it was a Baptist church, for many years. He was very successful, John Osteen. In fact, they just built a beautiful new sanctuary, and he was on the state board for his denomination. I mean, he was on his way up. But then something happened that changed his life. John and his wife, Dodie, had a little baby named Lisa. And Lisa was born with cerebral palsy. And this caused John Osteen to start searching the scriptures in a new way. And he found that God is a healer. And how that Jesus came that we might have abundant, victorious life. And John started sharing it with his congregation. But much to his surprise, they didn't like his new message of faith, victory and healing. It didn't fit in with it. It didn't fit their denominational thinking or teaching. And the people that John and his wife Dorothy had known for years suddenly turned on him. They said they had lifelong friends that wouldn't speak to him anymore. And let me tell you, I know what that's like. I have had so many people that I have pastored over the years, people that I led to Jesus, people that I taught them the Word of God, people their life was changed through our ministry, their families were changed, they were saved, they were healed, they were set free, and suddenly, without any explanation, they leave the church and they won't even talk to me. I mean, if they see me walking on down the street, they'll cross and go on the other side of the street. They have a bitterness towards me. It's the craziest thing. It's the craziest thing to have people that were close, people that you helped to change their life, and all of a sudden they're bitter towards you. So John Osteen ended up having to leave that church. He was so disappointed. He never dreamed that he would have to start all over. I mean, he could have easily been bitter. God, why did you let this happen? I was being my best. I was honoring you. I do what you told me to do. Like Mary, he was in the here. He didn't understand it. And yes, the here wasn't fair. But what he couldn't see was that God had already gone ahead. And God had already lined up Lakewood Church. And God was waiting for him there. If John would have stayed in the here, he would have missed his destiny. But he left that church. And he started Lakewood Church with 90 people. That was over 50 years ago. And of course, the rest is history. It's the largest church in America today. What am I saying? I'm saying the here is not the end. The disappointment, the loss, the betrayal, that's just temporary. God has already gone ahead. Don't let that bitterness hold you back. Don't sit around in self-pity. Move forward into the bed. Because there is where God will pay you back. There is where God will do more than you can ask or think. Are you with me? Now, in Luke chapter 15, I'm going to close with this. Luke chapter 15 is the story of the prodigal son. You all know that story. This young man took his inheritance, he left home, he wasted all of his money, living wild, partying, making bad decisions. Finally, the Bible says he came to his senses, he decided, I'm going to go back home. And his father came running out to meet him. He welcomed him with open arms. He was so glad to have his son back. He told his staff, go kill the fatted calf. We're going to have a party. We're going to celebrate. My son was dead and he is alive. Well, the older brother, the prodigal son's older brother, was out working in the field. And when he heard all the music and all the dancing, he asked someone, what's all the celebration about? And they said, your brother's come home and we're having a party to welcome him back. And look what the older brother said. The older son became angry. And he refused to go in and celebrate. So his father came out and pleaded with him and said, come and enjoy the feast with us. The son said, Father, listen, how many years have I been working like a slave for you? Performing in every duty you've asked as a faithful son. Now, how many of you know that what he said doesn't make sense? Because the one moment he's a faithful son, the next minute he's a slave. I've never once disobeyed you. Next verse. But you've never thrown a party for me. Because of my faithfulness, never once have you even given me a goat. Another translation says, not even a skinny goat. You gave me a skinny goat. So that I could feast on and celebrate my friends like he's doing now. But look at this son of yours. He comes back after wasting your wealth on prostitutes and reckless living, and here you are throwing a great feast to celebrate for him. What's the next one? Did I miss the verse here? Now you can hear, how many of you can hear the bitterness in this older brother's voice? Yeah. It's not fair, you haven't treated me right, I'm not coming to your party. Unfortunately today, a lot of people are running into the older brother instead of the loving father. You get what I'm saying? Too many Christians are portraying this mean, mad, angry God, and that's not who the Father is. It says, the Father said, my son, you're always with me. By my side, everything I have is yours to enjoy. It's only right to celebrate like this and be overjoyed because this brother of yours was once dead and gone, but now he's alive and back with us again. He was lost. Now he's found. Here's my point. The party went on without him. His bitterness didn't stop the party. It just kept him from going to the party. Sometimes we're holding on to unforgiveness and anger and resentment, and we think it's hurting the other person. I'll show you. I'll just never forgive you. I'm going to hold it against you the rest of my life. The truth is, the party's still going on. It's just hurting us. Are you letting bitterness keep you out of God's party? Are you letting a disappointment keep you from enjoying today? Why don't you let go and come into the party? See, the party going on. Life is happening. There's a celebration going on. Let me tell you, every day is a gift. Don't let a bad childhood keep you out of the party. Don't let a divorce, a breakup cause you to be sour and sit on the sideline. Come into the party. Start dreaming again. Start loving again. Start believing again. Start rejoicing again. Amen. Let me tell you, we've got no guarantee we're going to be here tomorrow. Life is fragile. Time is short. It's too short to live offended and bitter and in self-pity. Let me tell you, God knows what you didn't get. Quit trying to pay people back. Go to God and let Him make it up to you. Let Him be your vindicator. If you come into the party, if you get rid of what's contaminating you, if you get rid of that bitterness, if you forgive and let it go, I believe, family, you're going to experience a new sense of freedom in your life. You'll experience better relationships, greater joy, a clearer vision. I believe in the name of Jesus that every root of bitterness is coming out right now. Yes. And let me tell you, I believe you're going to rise higher, and you're going to live happier, and you're going to reach the fullness of your destiny in the name of Jesus. I declare that today. I declare today we're getting rid of all bitterness. We're not letting anything contaminate or pollute the stream of God's blessing in our life. Tell your neighbor, I refuse to allow bitterness to take a root in me. Say, I am guarding my heart. I am protecting my heart. Say, I forgive everybody and anybody who's ever wronged me. I let go. Come on, say, I let go of every offense, of every disappointment, of every loss, of every betrayal. I'm not looking back. Say, I'm moving forward. I'm pressing forward. Say, I'm going to live my life in the joy of the Lord, in the peace of God, in the blessings of God. I get rid of all bitterness today, and I will not allow bitterness into my heart in the name of Jesus. Say, I'm going to forgive quickly. I'm going to let it go in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You receive it today. Come on. Yeah. Bitterness is something that we all face. Believe me. I refuse. I'm not going to live bitter. I get rid of it. Life's too short. God's too good. Future is too bright to hold on to a root of bitterness that's going to poison and contaminate my life. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You receive this today?
Yes.
You get something out of this today?
Yes.
Amen. Well, I'm going to ask you to bow your head for a moment if you would. I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes if you would. While our heads are bowed, while our eyes are closed. Where's Dave for me? Thank you, Dave. While our heads are bowed, while our eyes are closed. Christians, just quietly pray, because this is such an important moment right now. I want to pray. I want to pray right now for every person and any person in this place today that would say, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I'm not sure where I stand with God today. I'm not sure if all is well, if all is right between me and the Lord. Listen, dear friend, I want to ask you a question. You didn't come here by accident today. You came here because God directed you. And I want to ask you this question. If you were to die today, can you say that you know for sure, you know for certain that you would go to heaven? Would you have to be honest? Say, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I hope I'd go to heaven. I do believe in God. I'm a member of such a church. Well, listen, I'm not asking if you belong to a church. I'm not even asking if you believe in God. What I'm asking you is, if you died today, can you say that you know for sure that you would go to heaven? Because let me tell you the good news. The good news is you can know that for sure. You can walk out of here this morning and you can know that all is right, all is well with you and God. You can know that every mistake and every sin you ever committed in your life, it's forgiven, it's washed away. And you can know for certain that when you die, heaven is where you're going to spend all of eternity. Heaven is a real place. There is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. I want to pray for you this morning. If you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to ask you to stand, but right where you're sitting, if you want to be a part of this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, include me, pray for me, I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven, I don't want to go to hell, pray for me. If that's you, quickly, right now, I want you to lift your hand up high, just slip your hand up high. If your hand is raised, then that means you're included in this prayer. God bless you. I'm looking for hands. Just lift it up high right now. Say, here's my hand, Pastor Steve. Pray for me too. Include me in that prayer. Amen. All right, praise God. Looks like everyone here is all saved. Everyone here is going to heaven. Amen. We're taking people with us to heaven. We're simply taking people with us to heaven. How many of you know there are thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people all in the city that are on their way to heaven? They died today to go to heaven. God is depending on us to reach out, to let the light shine, to tell them the good news. Amen. Hey, I'm a soul winner. Now I love people, and I'm taking as many people with me to heaven as I can. Say every Sunday, I'm bringing people to church with me every single week in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before I hand back to you, we're gonna be having offering time. How many people believe in giving here today? How many givers do we have here? Any givers? Well, last week, Rick, who plays piano, that's not Rick, that's Dave, but the other man who plays piano, Rick, is not here today, he was working today, but Rick and Sherry came to me and said, Pastor, we pray for me. I said, what do you want me to pray for? He said, I want you to pray, we believe in God, to be able to give $15,000 to the new building. How much are you praying that God will allow you to give to the new building? I'm not asking what do you have. I'm asking what do you believe in God to supply so you can give to the new building? I love that. Texas team, pray for me. Agree with me. Why? Because I want to give $15,000. Imagine praying and asking God to give you something so you can give it to the work of God. Amen. Whoever thought of such a thing? Friends, I want to encourage you to believe God. We just received our go-ahead to start the building, start work on the building. Are you as excited as I am? We're trusting God. We still need about $100,000 to finish the renovation. And I have no doubt that our God is good. I've got no doubt about it. But here's what I'm asking you. I'm asking you to say, Lord, look to your heart. What do you want me to do? Now, I know many of you have already given. And I thank you. I really do. But we're not quite finished yet. We can't have church in there yet. We're going to do some renovations. So I'm asking you to examine your heart and pray and trust God. Let me tell you, the Bible says God will supply seed to a sower. In other words, if you have a desire to give, God will make a way to get you those funds that you can give. In fact, I said last week, I said when we as a church, or when a church announces we're building a new building, A lot of people go, oh no, here we go, you have the crazy money. Okay, good. That's not most of the time. Oh, here we go again, we're going to talk about money again. You know what your attitude should be? Let me tell you what your attitude should be. If my church is building a new house for the Lord, then that means God is looking for people to bless. That he can put the funds through them into that building.
Amen.
Lord, provide. I am available. Amen. What a different attitude.
Amen.
This is an opportunity. God's looking for people. Because God's looking right now. He's got $400,000 at least into this church. He's looking for who can he bless. Anyone here? Any available candidates in the place? But if a person says, well, here we go again, money, 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 money. Let me tell you, God's going to bypass you. He's going to bypass you. Because why would he give you money? You're not going to give it anyway. He's looking for someone who's going to support the kingdom of God. You agree with that? So I want to thank you. Go ahead. No? Yeah, do what you're going to do. Do what you're going to do.
Okay, I'm going to read you a couple of scriptures. Genesis 8:22. While the earth remains, seed. time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. Now, seed time and harvest. You know, that's not just creation. God said, I'm going to give, you know, have a tree and it's going to drop seeds and more trees will grow. It's not just creation. It's a system. God put the system in motion, and as long as we follow it, the system goes uninterrupted, right? Seed time and harvest. There's a story about the fig tree, and I'll read it to you in Luke 13. It says, then Jesus began telling them this parable. A certain man had a fig tree that had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, but he couldn't find any. So he said to the vineyard keeper, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I've found none. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground, depleting the soil and blocking the sunlight? Now we know that there's a story where Jesus cursed the fig tree, right? Why did he curse the fig tree? Was it because he was mad? He was so hungry. He was hangry. You know that word? He was so mad. He was so hungry that he cursed the fig tree. No, it wasn't that. It was that the tree was receiving but not giving. It was depleting from the soil but putting nothing out, right? And so why would it stay in the ground and keep taking from the ground and not expect to give anything back? That's the system that God's put in place. It's talking about a cycle that happens. If you think about it, it's like the rain. You know, the rain falls from the clouds, then the sun shines on that water, and then humidity goes back up, and it goes back into the clouds, right? But what is it doing? It's feeding what fed it. It's a cycle that's happening. So really, we talk about sowing and reaping, and when we give, it's not just generosity, but it is a cycle.
Right.
We are giving to what is giving to us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The Bible says in Galatians 6, don't be deceived, God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that he will also reap. We bless what is blessing us. We help what is helping us. Right?
Yeah.
That's sowing and reaping. You know, if this church doesn't feed you, don't feed it. But if you come into church every week, and you're receiving the word, and your children are getting ministered to, and you're getting ministered to, and your life's getting changed, which is what we hear. Your life's getting changed by the teachings. And you walk out of here and you talk about it, and you put it on Facebook, and you use it in your marriage, and you use it in your job, and you use it, you know, in your life to make you better, then feed it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Men put into your bosom, for with the same measure you use, it'll be measured back to you.
Amen.
So as we prepare to give, there's envelopes right there on the seat. If you're watching online, just go ahead and click the online, give online. We appreciate your giving, as Pastor Steve said. We're sowing and reaping. There's various ways to give. Should be up on the screens. The easiest way I love is text giving, but just go ahead and use those. And in a moment, the ushers are going to hand those bags by. We appreciate your gift.
Amen. Praise God. Is everyone ready this morning?
Yes.
Everyone ready to give?
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes.
Ushers, go ahead. Did Meadows make it here today? Meadows, did you make it? Meadows. All right. I was asking to see a young man. Hospital today. Hospital this week. Anyone remember Jerry Gordon? He used to work in our setup team,
yeah.
Jerry Gordon, and he moved to Alabama. So he called me. He said my son had to have emergency surgery. He said he was in the shower. He's 21 years old. He was in the shower, and he felt a growth in his groin, a lump. So he just thought, well, I'm going to go to work, you know. And he got to work, and he was placed in boxes, and he had this excruciating pain. So his boss said to him, you need to go to the hospital and let him check it out. So he went to the hospital and they said, yes, we see a cancerous growth. And we're going to take you straight into surgery, immediately. So he wakes up in surgery, what happened? They said, it was a cancerous growth. We had to remove one testicle. And now we're doing tests because we think we're going to have to remove the other testicle. And if you ever plan on having children, you should go right now to the sperm bank. So I go to see that you've been a medic. I said, you're a believer. Yeah, I'm a believer. You believe Jesus heals. He said, the Lord healed my mother. I said, I believe God's healed you today. So now, we pray. I pray that every growth would go from his body, that his health would be restored. He called me the next day. The good news, Pastor Steve, all the tests came back negative. He was telling me, he's 21, he said, I remember when I was a teenager, because he was raised in church, I was a teenager, I'd ride my bicycle to the church that we were a part of, it was a small church, and I would help them set up. I wanted to tell him, you're going to be doing that again, buddy. Praise God. How many people glad you came to church today? Spoke to you in some way or another. How many of you determined today get rid of bitterness out of your life? Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. I want to say thank you, and also check out your watch. Right on time. I just wanted to point that out. It can happen. So I want to say thank you to all of our volunteers who served today in children's ministry, our greeters, our media, our setup team, our breakdown team. Give them a big round of applause. Thank you for serving the Bible House today. Amen. Then remember, I'm so glad you were there today. I'm so glad I sat next to you today. Tell them I'll see you next week. Tell them this. Tell them this. Last thing. Tell them that don't forget. Tell them that don't forget. Invite some of the children next week. God bless you. We love you. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Sunday. Amen.